Penguin Random House Audio presents Off the Charts, The Hidden Lives and Lessons of American Child Prodigies by Anne Hulbert. Read for you by Kirsten Potter. Prologue. When is a boy not a boy? In the summer of 2005, a six-year-old named Mark Yu was eager to stump me as we stood in a hallway of the Colburn School of Music in Los Angeles before his cello and piano lessons began. An adorable little guy in a red Pacific Oaks Children's Center t-shirt and matching red socks, he was deep into his repertoire of riddles, awarding a point for every punchline I came up with. "When he turns into a store," I answered, after briefly debating whether to play dumb. Mark practically danced into his classroom, ignoring the requests of his cello teacher and his mother, Chloe Hui, that he please settle down. An hour later, after I heard him play Vivaldi's Concerto in G minor for two cellos on a quarter-size instrument several inches bigger than he was, another answer occurred to me: when he's a prodigy. During his next lesson, I watched Mark's tiny hands racing through Bach's Concerto in F minor for the piano. His bony shoulders moved with the music and the effort of producing remarkable clarity and phrasing, and I felt the full force of the riddle. As he slipped down from his booster seat on the piano bench, begging his teacher to let him tackle at least a part of Rachmaninoff's second piano concerto, I couldn't help wondering what he might actually turn into. Several months later, I watched as Mark became a poster boy for a mission to stop wasting our brightest young minds in an era of global competition. He was awarded a $10,000 fellowship for his prodigious work by the Davidson Institute for Talent Development, founded 6 years earlier to support and proselytize on behalf of profoundly gifted children. 16 mostly teenage superstars joined him, honored for their portfolios of intellectual and artistic feats, which they submitted along with testimonies about their labors and tributes to mentors. The fellows, hailed as a precious but imperiled national resource, got a taste of advocacy as well. As part of the celebratory festivities in Washington, D.C., the prize winners paid visits to Capitol Hill to speak about their hard-won accomplishments. For Mark, the classic child prodigy in a group of bigger and gawkier students, the credential brought crossover stardom, too. On a tour of the talk shows, Ellen DeGeneres, Oprah, The Tonight Show, he told jokes and got off funny one-liners. Then he removed the red gloves that kept his hands warm and played a sample from a repertoire that ranged from Mozart to Gwyneth Walker. "She's still composing," Mark deadpanned, "unlike most of the composers I like, who are decomposing." When a more earnest morning show interviewer asked him if he thought he was gifted, he looked flustered. "I don't know," he shrugged, mumbling a guess about a possible gift from God. What Mark wanted to talk about was his hard work, not a topic typically associated with child wonders, who were supposed to soar without sweating. In his many media appearances, he spoke out whenever he could as an ambassador for a resurgence of American excellence, ready with advice. Mark, who had lately lost three teeth, had come up with a lisping soundbite: "You should play Game Boy less, and you should practice more." The democratic zeal of the message and of its six-year-old messenger was inspiring. Mark wasn't smug. He seized every chance to salute his immigrant mother and her tireless guidance. Mark didn't scold. He delivered the counsel with sincere fervor and irrepressible energy. Here was a boy who sometimes stole to the piano at night, Chloe reported, drawn by a favorite passage he'd toiled over during the day. As Mark swayed on the bench, playing with unusual feeling, his eyes closed and face uplifted, his transport inspired a neck-prickling awe, not just at the music pouring forth, but at the mysteries of human potential. How often do we underestimate children's untapped powers and phenomenal capacity to learn? The possibilities are extraordinary for a child with a child's imagination and a child's heart, marveled a conductor, stunned by Mark's adult-level mastery. With momentum like his, what might maturity bring? At the same time, the spectacle of Mark couldn't help but stir more mundanely discomforting sensations, a variation on the "what is American youth coming to" worry that every generation of parents, along with pundits and policymakers, succumbs to. Warnings about a rising China and about widening achievement gaps in the United States were hard to ignore. Tiger parenting had yet to enter the lexicon. Amy Chua's shocker of a book, Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mother, about goading two daughters to virtuoso extremes, lay half a decade ahead. But the fraught ethos of early superachievement was already familiar enough, as hard to like as it was to shake. You didn't have to be a parent with two overscheduled high school kids, though I was, to feel off balance. In an ever more competitive world, what is the promise and the price of honing youthful potential ever earlier and more avidly? What happens to those imaginations and hearts? The not-so-democratic consequences of America's meritocratic mystique were obvious. Stressed out, helicopter-parented, test-prepped, accelerated children bent on exceptional performance from cradle to elite college, and left-out children, lacking adult guidance and challenging goals, derailed by obstacles. I sighed at the proto-prodigy expectations. Was this a likely route to social equality, or resilient autonomy, or bold creativity? I signed up my privileged, omni-enriched kids for SAT prep, anyway. This is a book about prodigies like Mark, who aren't merely amazingly good at something before they lose all their baby teeth or hit puberty. I've chosen young marvels in modern America who have also tapped into a very public concern about precocious achievement, which baby boomers and their successors are far from the first to feel. To display adult mastery as a child, or in several cases in this book as a teenager, is usually to draw notice. But different talents seem to attract heightened interest in different decades, inviting scrutiny as auguries for the rest of us. Over the past century, the zeitgeist has swept some prodigies to special attention as emblems of social progress, or as victims of worrisome pressures, or often both at once. Who they are, and what particular skills they display, and how, touches a nerve. Mark, a captivating mini-version of the virtuoso piano celebrity Long Long, and with his mother, an outspoken proponent of perspiration over inspiration, was a standout made-to-order for a China-focused, college-frantic moment preoccupied with grit, the latest lab-tested talent development secret on the lips of psychologists, educators, and parents. At anxious junctures, in other words, you could say we single out the child wonders we deserve, which doesn't mean those remarkable children get treated the way they deserve, or, for that matter, the way parents and mentors and other meddlers and an avid media claim they are treated. This book began with curiosity to get to the bottom of stories about some American superchildren who seized the spotlight, and to tell those stories as unsentimentally and unsensationally as possible. My previous book, Raising America, was a cultural history of 20th-century child-rearing theories peddled by a succession of experts, each promising, with great confidence and shaky evidence, that scientifically informed nurture would liberate untold human potential. Phenomenally accomplished children offered a chance to explore practice rather than theory at those eagerly anticipated new frontiers of performance. My choices, from math prodigies at the start of the 20th century on up to Mark, are glaring exceptions to prevailing rules, boys and girls whose exploits have seemed to offer timely discoveries about talent development. They aren't representative or exemplary in the sense of typical, and that is the point. Ours is an era, as a popular advisor of parents has put it, when Lake Wobegon-style insistence on above-average children is yesterday's news, overtaken by an anxious credo that, given half a chance, all of our children would be extraordinary. If versions of today's message in fact go back further than we think, let's take a closer look at prodigies who have been heralded as emissaries of that drive to excel early, the living, breathing, superbly high...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?